Good evening, Rabbosai. Good evening, good evening. A few years ago, do you remember that Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman went from Eretz Yisrael to America? I remember when it happened, not so long time ago. Do you remember when it was? Like, was it 5 years ago, 7 years ago? Do you remember when it happened? Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman went to America. Pardon? 2008? A walking encyclopedia. Pardon? He did indeed, that's right. That's right, very good. And the Bush of Ice. 2008, yeah? So that's how many years ago?
8 years.
Okay, 8 years ago. So he went and he was invited to, he went to Lakewood, Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, Roshiv to Gol Hadoy, he went to Roshiv of Lakewood, Rabbi Kiel, Kotler, Shlita, invited him to his house to welcome the Gol Hadoy from Eretz Yisrael. Lakewood Roshiv invited him. As he was there, Reb Aaron Leib noticed, they were talking, and they noticed that in the Sforim Shank of Rav Kotler, there was a pair of shoes. Did you hear the story? It's unbelievable. It was a pair of shoes in the middle of the Sforim Shank of the Shiva of Lakewood. It was a shoe. And not stammer shoe.
One shoe or
a
pair of shoes?
A shoe. And it wasn't stammer shoe, but it was a worn out, very worn out, very, very worn out shoe. And it was there. And not only that, but the worn out shoe in the middle of the Sforim Shank was behind a glass. It looked like, you know, instead of having the silver and the silver and the Essig box and the menorah, it was a shoe, worn out shoe. So Aaron Leib Steinman, despite his general humility and his, he asked Lakewood Roshiv, can you tell me what it is? What is it? Why is a shoe in the middle of his Sforim Shank? So the Ramal Kiel Shlita answered me, the Roshiva not here. He said, no. He said, okay. So I'll tell you a story. So the Ramal Kiel told him that years ago, it was Ibn Zalman Meltzer, who was Roshiva of Slutsk. And the Roshiva, he was one of the Gdolei Yisrael. Ibn Zalman, Evan or Ezel, one of the Gdolei Yisrael. And he was Roshiva between Ibn Zalman Meltzer. And eventually he went to Eretz Yisrael and he was Roshiva in Eretz Chaim in Yerushalayim. But it was before he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was a Shiva. And during the First World War, see, we don't talk so much about the First World War because we had the Second World War overshadows the First World War. But there was lots of tragedies and a lot of Yidden had to escape and run. And he was maybe not, the death numbers wasn't anywhere near the Second World War, obviously, but it was severe tragedies where, I'm just currently going through letters that Abraham Ozer wrote during the First World War. Abraham Ozer Gojinski writes letters in the First, he was terrible what was going on in the First, it was mamash terrible. And amongst those many tragedies, Toshir Reb Issa Zalman, he had to escape, he ran away from one place to another, but at one point he had to close down the yeshiva. It was too dangerous, it became mamash enemy zone, enemy area, it was dangerous to stay there, so Toshir Reb Issa Zalman said, it's Sakonas and Foshas, I'm closing down the yeshiva. Hold the bochim, go back home. And that's what happened. All the bochim went from Issa Zalman's yeshiva, Slutsk, they all went back home. One of the bochim took him 4 days to walk home. 4 days to walk home. He walked home and he has to get home. His mom says, oh, Leza, how are you? What are we doing here? And then he says, oh, Shiva, Issa Zalman, the yeshiva, he closed down the yeshiva. He said, it's dangerous. It's dangerous, Sakona, danger. So he closed down the yeshiva. He said that everybody should go home. And then his mother said, what do you mean it's dangerous? Closing down the yeshiva. What, you think it's safe over here than the yeshiva? You go back and learn. No excuse. You go back and learn. It's, yeshiva is not any more dangerous than being home. So he packed it well. He didn't really pack his bags. First of all, because he never unpacked them. And second of all, he didn't have any possessions in the first place to pack. But he made a U-turn and he walked back, walking for 4 days. He walked back to Ibn Zalman Yeshiva. And he walked back and he just said goodbye to his mother. And he went back. And he said, you know, you have to be most nefesh for Torah. There's no such thing as going back home. You know, you have to sit and learn Torah. There's no excuses. And this bacha ended up back to Slutsk. And it was a shiva. This continued. He knocked on the shiva's door. And the shiva, Ibn Zalman, opens the door. And he says, what? Oh, wow. Welcome back. What are you doing here? His mommy said that I'm meant to learn Torah. But Mesilas Nefesh, it's not any safer at home than to be, here. Have come over here to learn Torah. And the shiva says, unbelievable. What unbelievable Mesilas Nefesh. You're coming back on Mamash Mesilas Nefesh, and he sees his shoes completely worn out from the 4 days, and 4 days, there was never much shoes in the first place, but the 4 days walking into each direction made it into nothing, there was nothing left of those shoes. He walked and walked and walked, there was nothing left, there wasn't even soles left, it was completely, so Shiva Islaman said, can I tell you, those shoes, you walked, but Mesilas Nefesh, you walked back to Shiva, but can I, would you sell me those shoes? He said, So I'm happy to sell you those shoes, but I haven't got any shoes, other shoes to wear. That's all I've got. I have got no shoes. I'm basically walking on my socks. I've got nothing else. And he says, okay, so can I? I need those shoes. These shoes are shoes of Mesil Snefesh. I want those shoes. If I replace those Shiva, Mrs. Alman, so if I replace those shoes and I give you other shoes, new shoes, will you give me them? And he says, well, that's a good deal for me. Most definitely, yes. So, okay, fine. So, Laser, give me your shoes. I'm going to give you other shoes. And he took those shoes and he gave him other shoes. He says, these shoes are very, very special shoes. These shoes are very special shoes. Mrs. Alman, after a few years later, he moved to, Mrs. Alman had a son-in-law called Aaron Kotler. Aaron Kotler, well, Mrs. Alman went to Eretz Yisrael, he became a Shiva in Etz Chaim, in Bnei Brak, in Yerushalayim. His son-in-law was Aaron Kotler, who shortly later went from Slutsk, he went to America, and he opened Lakewood Yeshiva. Aaron Kotler being the first Shiva and the founder of Lakewood Yeshiva. He had those shoes, and to him those shoes was a sign of Mesilas Nefesh. And he said, these are very special shoes. These shoes showed Mesilas Nefesh. Aaron Kotler, being the son-in-law of Rabbi Salaman, he was nifter, and these shoes went over to his son, Reb Shneur Kotler, who was the second Shiva, the grandson of Mrs. Alman, second Shiva of Lakewood, and he held those shoes, and he said, these are so special shoes, we're going to put them in the Swam Shak as a simon of Mesilas Nefesh. And his son, in turn, Malkiat Kotler, he was Yerushit those shoes from his father, who was Yerushit from his grandfather, who was Yerushit from his grand-grandfather. But, and so Malkiel says, you need those shoes, that's the story of those shoes. But then Malkiel says, I want to ask you, that's not the end of the story. Then says to Malkiel, he says, okay, but can I, who was that bocher? Who was that bocher who wore those shoes? Who was it? So fine, so your great-grandfather bought them. But who did they belong to, Aaron Leib says? Who was that bocher? And Malkiel answers, this bocher who was wearing those shoes, and he sold it to my grandfather was Reb Lezer Menachem Manshach. He was Avshach. He was his shoes. So you see what Mesilas Nefesh, in young age, that Mesilas Nefesh eventually brought him to become a Godel and a Godel B'Yisrael. Mesilas Nefesh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Simon Kuf Ayin. Simon Kuf Ayin. Sif Chof Aleph. We're going to be starting that soon. Before we do so, though, there's a fascinating behetev here. Behetev Sivkot and Tezayin brings a few halachos, which the Mishneh Berurah does not bring, but I just feel they're so interesting that I feel we should discuss them briefly. Sivkot and Tezayin behetev, in our edition, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the behetev. Have you got it? Yeah, behetev over here. It's not the Mishneh Berurah, it's not the Chofetz Chaim, but the Mishneh Berurah was written later, but he didn't bring those halachas. I want to share them with you because I find them so interesting. So we learned yesterday, Sivkot and Tezayin. We learned, I'm skipping a line. We say yesterday not to eat when you're standing. That's the behetev over here. Don't eat whilst you're standing, so eat and run. Eat and run, no eat and run. And then he counts, don't jump up after finish eating. Basholim, and then you jump up. You know those? Jumping up after Basholim. So don't be one of those either. You should always wait a little bit. How long it would take to bench afterwards, you should wait after a little bit before you jump up. And then he carries on. New paragraph, as it were. The Masechet Derech Eretz says, it's brought down. Lo yismach adam ben aboichim. Never be a happy person between crying people. For lo yifke ben asmechim. Don't be crying amongst happy people. Lo yeir ben aishenim. Don't be awake amongst sleeping people. For lo yoshen ben hoerim. And don't sleep amongst awake people. In other words, don't be different. Lo yesh ben aoimdim. Don't be a standing person amongst sitting people. Don't be a standing amongst sitting people. Don't stick out from the crowd. If everybody's sleeping, you sleep. If everybody's up, you be up. If everybody's standing, you stand. If everybody else is sitting, you sit as well. If everybody else is crying, join them. If everybody else is happy, don't be sticking out from the crowd. Of course, in your heart, you can feel whatever you want, but don't display externally anything different than the rest of the people. That's what the Masechet Derech Eretz says. I think we can all appreciate that. Klolei shel dovah, the rule is, al yishane odom daito midas chavero ibne odom. Don't stick out from the crowd. Don't make a point. You know, those people are trying to make a point. Whatever everybody else does, they do it differently. Well, don't be one of those. Don't stick out from the crowd. Do as accepted generally in the society, in the, from society. Lo yishan achachi. Yeah, and then right. So that's what I want to share with you. The Mishnah Berurah does not quote this, but it's a Masechet Echaretz, and I felt it's interesting behetiv to share. What do you think about it? Interesting. Yeah.
Would you be more?
After you should wait after, before you get up. Wait as long as it would take to bench before you jump up. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
What about in a kiddush? People are standing usually.
Good question. I was scared somebody was going to ask that.
What about lachadodim? Some people stand in lachadodim.
You should do as the rest of the shoe.
Really?
As the rest of the shoe. About the kiddush, it's a good question. So I was scared of that because I don't know what the answer is. So I have a bit of an answer, which I saw in the post game, but the question is a lot better than the answer. What do you think about it? By Kiddush, pretty much everybody is, most people are standing, right? So why is it not, lo yoichal odom umot? So that one, Mishnah Berurah, lo yoichal odom umot, do not stand. When you're eating, don't stand, but sit. Ara is okay, you think that Ara is okay. You're saying that it's mashma from the, that it's all one halacha, that it's, if everybody else stand, right, if it's noticeable, if it's not noticeable, then it's fine, if everybody else does well, you're okay, yeah, I mean, the Emma says, I think the question is a lot better than the answer. I did see in some of the post game, I've got my reservation about this pshat, but some post game said this halacha doesn't apply anymore nowadays, because this was only when people were reclining, when they were leaning and they were eating in the way that we described in previous shiurim. They were, like we know from Pesach, they were mamash like on the floor, on couch, like reclining, and that's when it was totally deemed inappropriate if you stand. However, nowadays, that people are more sitting and they're more standing is acceptable way of eating, and therefore the halacha doesn't apply anymore. I'm not convinced. I mean, I'm just sharing with you what some poets can say, but it's. I think the question is a lot better than the answer. Yeah.
So why even vehicle? Why just back before? Why does it vehicle? And why do you need to take how much time to bench or to get up?
It's all part of the decency. It's all part of decency. Okay, we are ready for Sif Chof Aleph. Shamesh Shoyam Shamesh Al Shnayim. Okay, waiter serving food to two people. Two people are sitting and eating, and a waiter serves them. He can just sit down and eat with them. Why is that? Two people are eating, they have a private conversation. The waiter comes and he says, oh, why don't I sit down and join you? He can do that. Why is that? That's right, because of Zimmern. Even though nobody invited him, nobody gave him permission. He just plumps himself down. He says, here I am. I'm joining. And they say, well, you never asked permission. He says, I know, but I'm still eating with you. So why is that? Because, one second, let's carry, get there in a minute. If he's serving three people, the halacha will be, he can't, that's right. He cannot just sit down with them. Unless he asked permission, they said, sure, join us, please. But if, without permission, he can sit down. If two people are eating, he can just sit down. A waiter. He can sit down. If two people are, he can just sit and join. If it's three people eating, he can't. Only ask permission. Oh, very good, Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here that the reason is, if Kotten Mem Gimel, Afalpi, the Miskomen is Ratzu Lezeh, probably they're okay with the first white line. They're probably fine with him joining and eating Me'at a little bit. Mishalayim from Kidei Shalem Zimon. Because they want to have Zimun. If there's two people eating, there's no Zimun. If there's three people eating, there's going to be Zimun. So probably they're okay with it. They didn't ask permission. He didn't ask them permission. But nevertheless, it's likely that they want a Zimun. So Rabbi Kagan says, Lebol Melcham Lechaim, the previous Rabbi Kagan also says, in the name of Eli Rabbe, Kosev Eli Rabbe, the Efshadu Adinim Ayush Oichlin Tesho. If there's nine as well, the same halacha will apply. That if there's nine people and the waiter comes and he says, oh, there's nine people, so he can also just sit down with them even though he didn't ask permission. Why is that? Because if he joins them, they'll be able to make Zimun with the name of Hashem. So therefore, probably they're okay with it as well. But if there's three people, four people, five people, six people, seven people, or eight people, he won't be able to just join. He'll need to ask explicit permission. Yeah. Good question. Yeah, very good question. Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a very, very good question. I think the answer will be to anybody. I'll say malach will apply to anybody as well. But that's a very good hour. Very good hour. Pardon?
If you walk into a restaurant where two people. It's got to be because it's his waiters.
His waiters.
I'm guessing.
It's a good question. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't know. So, Achin, good question. Yeah. Good question. Continues if cotton chav base. Ha'achar she'shos sisa v'nisho yayim b'koyz l'shtiyas chavecho. You have drank. You had your drink. And there's a bit left for somebody else to drink. Kaneach mokam nishikas ha'peh. You should wipe off the area of the glass where your mouth touches mishum milus because it's not very appetizing. V'lotishpach mishum bal... Right. So you can, if there's leftovers, you could drink somebody else. We're learning over here that if you're wiping it off, you could drink, you could leave some of the glass, somebody else can wipe off and drink and carry on the leftovers of your drink. That's fine. But don't spill it over. Don't like waste it. There's like half a cup of wine left. Just pour it out. Somebody else could still gain benefit from it. But if there's a half a cup of water left, don't leave it there. Don't wipe the cup. Or you should just pour it out. Why is that? Why is water different? Right. So it seems from here, what the poskim want to learn, that it appears from here that there is no baal tashchis with regards to water. That's what the poskim learn. Water, although we all appreciate about how essential it is, but with regards to baal tashchis, there is no issa baal tashchis. Again, if there's a cup of wine, you drank half. Half a cup left. You can leave it behind. Somebody can wipe off the area that you... And can drink half a cup of wine. That's fine. That's only with regards to wine. With regards to water, if you left half a cup of water, don't do that. Pour it out. If you have leftover water, pour it out. You don't want somebody else to drink it. So the reason seems to be that there's a difference. By wine, if you're pouring it out, you're not allowed to pour it out. Because somebody else may drink it. So it's baal tashchis. It's baal tashchis. You're wasting. And with regards to water, the issur baal tashchis doesn't seem to apply. That's what many poskim want to suggest.
It was about whiskey.
Yeah, what do you think? What would be the low if you've got half a cup of whiskey left?
Yeah, probably because more is going to be
hosher. Absolutely, 100%, but tashchis will apply. Yeah, very good question. So, this is specifically referring to if you leave it behind for one specific person. If it goes around, it would be more problematic. Yeah. Say, pardon? That's because why is it about tashchis? Because that's all for the tzeich of the mitzvah. That's all part of the avdola. There's no about tashchis. It's a good ha'orah. The poskim speak about it. Poskim do mention that it's not about tashchis because it's all part of the avdola process. Yeah. Very good question. Very good question. This is over here. Repeat your question. Yeah. So, the answer is because over here you're specifically leaving it for somebody. So, yeah, you're specifically leaving it for somebody. Okay, see, the Rama says, Acha kol achilascho. After you're finished eating, says the Rama, Echoil melach, you should have a bit of salt. When you finish eating, have a tiny bit of salt. V'lacha kol shtiyascho, and after whatever you drank, shtei mayim, you should have a bit of water. It's good. After a meal, to have a bit of water. After a drink, you should have a bit of water. If you had a meal, you should have a bit of salt. The Rama says, papas. This is only if you haven't eaten, if there was no salt in the bread. Or any food that you've eaten, there was no salt in it. Oh, you drank wine, and there was no water at all throughout the whole meal. You didn't drink any water. Then you should have a bit of water at the end. Similarly, if whatever you ate, all the bread and the meat and anything you ate, there was no salt in it, then you should have a bit of salt at the end. But if throughout the meal there was salt and there was water, then you don't need to have at the end any additional. This is certainly the minhag, says the Rama, that we're not makpid to have a bit of salt, a bit of water at the end of the meal. We do not makpid because all our meals, I've got plenty of salt, right? Our bread, our challahs, our anything that we eat, pretty, I know everything is going to have a bit of salt. Therefore, you don't need to have salt at the end of the meal. Similarly, when we drink, we're always going to have something with water inside it. So therefore, you don't have to water at the end of the meal. Mishnah Moed Tzav Katan, hey, adds few halachas. Terech Sham, כדי לישנה ורואה כשנו כתוך. אין מה שכוספנו לכמון צמרי שלם על מיני האכילה. יזוהה מאוית, says the Mishnah, we should be very careful, שהולך הולב בהם או חייב אויב, to not eat the heart of an animal. It's kosher לשכחה. I don't think they'll sell it by the... Yeah. Kosher לשכחה, it means that it causes forgetfulness. Forget. Pardon? I do not know, but I'd be very surprised if they sell the heart. The question is, some of Farshim ask, so this is kosher l'shikha, there are various things that Gemara teaches us, if you eat them, you're going to end up forgetting your Torah. Many things, such as Shas, the Gemara speaks about, there's a whole Sefer, two volumes, maybe once we can speak about it, there's two volumes, things that are causing a person to forgetful. What are the examples? Two clothes simultaneously, what else? Volumes. Yeah, that's right, we learned that in Netilas Yadayim, if you wipe your wet hands on clothing, Achilas Zeisim, to eat olives, the window, that's an interesting one, that's really, everybody says that, there's no Makoyah for that, to walk through the... Sleeping on clothes, yeah, that's right. Sleeping on your garments. To walk out of the window is a very, very common one. There's no makoy for it. Everybody says it, there's no makoy for it. So I asked once, somebody, and there's no makoy.
The end of the challah
is an interesting one, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there is something about that. There's something about that. What else is there? Then there is...
Close back to France.
That's right. Okay, there's plenty. So there are things which is definitely not because the Gemara says it. The Gemara says you should be careful. Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a sefer as well. There's some things which are explicitly brought down in Shas, in Gemara. Then there are things which are a bit... there's no makor for them and then you don't have to be makbit. There is family minhogim as well. There is a family minhogim. I had something which I just couldn't find the makor. I couldn't find the makor, and I checked, and then last week I searched. I mean, I asked. There's a certain expert in Eretz Yisrael who wrote the sefer. He wrote the sefer, and I actually asked him about the window as well. He wrote the sefer, two volumes, Shmir Zaguf Nefesh. And it's fascinating. And he said, "There's no makor. There's no makor for it." So I go upon him. So. What the minute which I was makabel is actually not the one shikhis is more something new. To cut photo. I mean I shouldn't be quoting it in the middle of Mishnah Berurah here. To cut through photos of people. Then it's a scholar not to hurt. No, like cut through photos of people. It's like kind of, you know. So there's no makoy for it whatsoever, Anyway, so. Pardon?
Is this Kabbalah?
There's no makor for it.
Isn't this whole thing about?
No, there is things which are not. There are things which are Gemara. This, for instance, is a Gemara. It's a Gemara thing.
How many things are there?
Pardon?
We don't believe in it.
No, so there are things that you're right. There are things which are explicit. This, for instance, is a Mefush Gemara. Not to eat a heart of a behemoth, if that's a Gemara. Then there are things which the Gemara says that if I had to copit, man the copit, copit the lave, man the copit, low copit the lave. Certain things are that if you're makpit, you should be makpit. If you're not makpit, then don't worry about it.
If you did something like this, you don't need to start. I mean, if you're not worrying about it.
Yeah, but there are some things which are against halacha. Some of them you should really be makpit.
But the Achilas,
the Mishnah brings it. Achilas Zeisim is a Gemara. Achilas, there's a whole list of them. Because once you go through them, there's many. Once you're brought down in Shas, you have to be makpid on. Okay, let's carry on because Mishnah Berurah says, Kosav Eli Rabbi B'Shem Shlo. Yeitiv Libo B'Sudosoi. He carries on Mishnah Berurah, says in the name of the Shlo. You should be happy when you're eating. Ima'at Imarbe. Yoichal Pito B'Simcha. You should be happy when you're eating. Don't be all depressed. Be excited, be happy, enjoy yourself when you're eating. Do it with a smile on your face. You should be happy, you should be excited when you're eating. That's what the Shlach HaKadosh says here. Eat healthy. It's no rocket science either. Eat healthy. And don't just indulge in foods that are unhealthy, you're just enjoying them for now. You should enjoy your food. Enjoy your food, but eat healthy. Is that a contradiction? No, it's fine, yeah? Okay. Do not go to sleep straight after eating. Don't go to sleep straight after eating. That's what he says. Pardon? No, because by the time you have done the tzofen, it takes a while.
About 12 o'clock, you go to bed.
Yeah, well, there's after the Suda, there's still quite a bit of the... So you should wait a bit. Don't eat too much. Eat as much as necessary. Of course, don't starve, but don't eat too much. We all know when we are overeating. Everybody can feel it when he's overeating. Don't overeat. If you're not overeating, it becomes Sudas Mitzvah. Fascinating. So Mishnah says, don't overeat, eat healthy, don't go to sleep straight after eating, and you should be careful. What he doesn't bring over here is a aloch that he brings in a chestainis. Do you remember in chestainis, he brought the tainis arrived? In the chestainis, the Chofetz Chaim, he doesn't bring it over here. But you remember the chestainis? The Mishnah there said that if a person wants to kapos avonis, somebody feels he's done a sin, he's done a avera, he said that what he could do, because the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about taleisim, avered fast days. And he says, very nice to fast. It was very common in previous generations to just fast. If you did an avera, you fast sheni chameshi. That was very common. We see that. Nowadays, we don't fast anymore. Mishnah said it's fine not to fast anymore. However, he says, if you want to do kapos avonis, the Mishnah suggests a couple of things. And one of the things he suggests over there is tanis dibur, not to talk. He said that's much harder. We all know to fast a day is a lot easier than to be careful with one's mouth. We all know that. So if you really want to do kapos avonis, you watch your mouth for a day. And then he says something else. He brings what's generally called the tanis arrived. He says, if you want eating in the middle of a meal, and you've got that plate full, and you're about to eat, and you say, okay, fine, let's go for it now. And then you stop yourself from eating. For a bit of time, he says, that's called Tanis Arayvet. He says, that's Kapos Avonis. Tanis Arayvet, you don't eat everything you see. You don't need to eat the whole time. If you just hold yourself back a little bit, Tanis Arayvet is a Gvaldi Kapos Avonis. He doesn't bring it over here, but that's known as, Mishnah Berurah brings in the Chestainis. Because that's the equivalent of fasting a whole day. Right, okay. Okay, so just to recap what we covered tonight, we'll carry on Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph next week in Mitzvah Hashem. So we learned the halachas with regards to a shamash. If he wants to join, if there's two people, he can just join because of the zimun. If there's nine people, he can join because of zimun. Otherwise, he needs to wait for his invitation. We learned that if there's a cup left, he should wipe it off and make sure nobody drinks without wiping off. He said that if it's wine, you need to be covered by Baltashchis. If there's water, there's no Baltashchis. We learned salt. Is have salt and water at the end of the meal. This doesn't necessarily apply, says the Rama, if there was salt and water during the meal. You don't have to have it at the end of the meal. The Mishnah Berurah adds various halachos, such as not eating a dvarim anoyim leshikcha, which includes eating a heart. He said you should be careful about dvarim anoyim leshikcha. You should eat happily, be happy and geshmak when you're eating. You should not sleep straight away after eating. You should wait a little bit after eating. He says that don't overeat. And if you're careful with all that, then every meal is considered a Sudas Mitzvah. We should all be zoicha to eat in such a way. Good Shabbos.